how did you found this? We're going to do a little bit different. If you're a father, wave your hands at me. Look around at all of these men waving. Keep them waving. Wave. You too, Jim. There you go. Fathers waving in any way. Happy Father's Day, men. Happy Father's Day. We weren't able to meet on Mother's Day, but we are happy for the Father's Day. Thankful for each one of you men. Trust that you have had already and will have a blessed day, and however you get to celebrate this time, and may the Lord bless you. Let's look now at Psalm 47. Thank you, Jerry. That was really needful. We already know the first two words, don't we? So clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible or to be respected. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. True or false? True. God reigneth over the heathen. He sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. What a great thought this morning, this psalm. I trust the Lord will bless that to your hearts. Let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? Father, we do want to thank you that we can be here today, and we do want to glorify you. Thank you that we can gather in your name, knowing that when only two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst, through and in the person of your Holy Spirit. And so we thank you that we can gather here today in your presence. Make that be a difference to each of us in our hearts and our attitudes. Maybe we're sitting here perhaps half-hearted, but I pray just the realization that God is here. We might perk up. We might sharpen up. We might become more attentive to the things that you have for us. We pray for our nation. We thank you for the nation that we are a part of. We think, Father, of our founding fathers and the intentions that were theirs. We thank you for our history. We know that our history is not perfect, but it's our history, and I pray that we might not just see individuals just tear down at every turn those things that are a part of our history, right or wrong. And ultimately what's going to happen is history will be rewritten without these reminders and symbols around. Help us to be conscious of how you would have us respond to those around us. Help us to be conscious of how you would have us serve you as citizens in this nation, children of yours, but citizens of the United States of America. I pray, Lord, that at this time, when there is so much turmoil and upheaval in our nation, you would help us to stand strong and true to you. And I pray that we would honor you in what we do and say. We do pray for these that we ask special prayer for. We do pray for the Van Werkums, close a week and confused these days. We know that in recent years she's off and on had trouble with just keeping things straight. She doesn't understand. It's hard on Bruce, and the counsel is that she's going to need some help. She's going to need some place. This is a hard pill to swallow. Help the family make the right decision. Not just, may their concern not be to keep Flo happy, but may their concern be to do what's right. Sometimes that's what it boils down to. We pray for Mike's mother. We thank you that they got to go visit her. And we thank you for the recovery that has occurred, but there's still a long ways to go. She's having trouble with that one side and having trouble swallowing. And we do pray that you might restore that according to your will, but we pray for her heart that she might come to know you as her own Savior. We ask now, Father, again, your Spirit minister to us. Take control in this service. Get all the glory, and as we start in a new direction today, may you have our hearts. And we'll thank you in your name. And you may be seated. I told you a couple of weeks ago that we had finished in our series in Philippians. And during this shutdown time, when there really wasn't anything anybody could do, I was in my office about every day, you can practice social distancing in a church where there's nobody there. And in your office, you don't have to worry about it. So it was during those weeks in prayer, Lord, what would you have as far as a new direction for our people as we come to the end of Philippians. I considered a particular book, and for a few days was going through that epistle in the New Testament and reading umpteen times and praying about that, and it didn't seem as though that was what the Lord would have for us. But you know, I have a back burner on the front of my desk. How can you have a back burner on the front of your desk? Well, trust me, I do. I get an idea, and I jot an idea down, and I tuck it under the lip on my desk pad. And I have stacks of back burners in my drawer, and sometimes I will go through one of those. Lord, are there any of these things, these thoughts, these ideas that you gave me, who knows how long ago, am I dead? I am supposed to make noise. Well, thank you, Andrew. You have a good day, too. How do you like to be told that you're making noise? Down was all going on. Was reading and was just attention was captured by the word foundations or foundation. Put that up there and didn't think much of it until I was getting serious about, okay, what is it? And the more I began to consider that, I sat down with a concordance and I began to write down every one of the references that had any that I thought might be a logical consideration for a message with the word foundation or foundations. And sensed that the Lord was saying, why don't you preach a topical series? It's been a long time since you just preached a topical series. Normally I'm expository, I'll just go through book after book, but I trust in these next few weeks and months the Lord can get the glory as we consider the topic of foundation or foundations. You say, well, what in the world are you going to do with that? Well, I have some coming examples written down for you, and then we'll go to the one that we're going to look at for today. But just consider these topics in coming days. Psalm 102:25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Job 38:4-7. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast any understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof established or fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. John 17:24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with thee where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. 1 Corinthians 3:10-11. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3-6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. 1 Timothy 6:17-20. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. 1 Peter 1:18-21. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Does it sound like there's anything worthy of considering in coming days as you think about some of those topics? Sky's the limit on where we can go with these. I trust you'll be in prayer for me in these coming days as I look to the Lord for direction, first of all, and that's not the whole list, by the way. The Lord's direction, first of all, and the ones that we ought to take a look at, and that I would know exactly how to prepare them, that they might be useful to each of us. You see, if they're not useful, then we come here and exercising a waste of time, aren't we? If we come and sit and we're listening and we go away from here and we ask ourselves, what good did that do me? That did me no good. It presented nothing. It did nothing. It was meaningless. That's not my prayer. My prayer is that the Lord can get all the glory. I pray that every steward, under shepherd, under the Lord here, the Lord has to first speak to my heart and teach me, and then say, Jerry, now this is what I want you to teach to the people from what I've taught to you. And that's my intention. Well, having said all that, which foundation are we going to knock on today? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to go to one that has a very familiar ring to it, and it is in Psalm 11. Turn to it and we'll read that. Psalm 11. Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. Now say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately or in darkness shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. And so today I want us to look at Psalm 11, a psalm which showcases David's unshakable faith when everything a person could trust in crumbles. Do you have something like that?
If you don't, do you wish you did? Let's notice now, first of all, his claim. As we look at this psalm in the first section of that first verse, what is his claim? His claim is, in the Lord put I my trust. Take this in the 21st century. What's David saying? I am a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I know the Lord. I love the Lord. We probably voice similar ourselves, haven't we? And we can kind of relate right there to where he's at as he uttered these words. In the Lord put I my trust. And perhaps we would sit there and we would say, amen. That's where it ought to be. But what I want us to see is that those words can be easy to say. Why do I even dare suggest? Those can even be spiritual sounding words that we like to say to impress some others sometimes. Well, I'm trusting the Lord. It sounds pretty pious at times, doesn't it? Are they just words that are spoken, or those words that we utter, are they always proven true by the life that we live, especially in trying circumstances of life? Like what? Like the COVID-19 crisis. If that hasn't stretched you to the breaking point, I don't know what will. This thing, I think, has driven about everybody insane. We're all sick of it. We're tired of it. We have, in this camp, the ones that it's all made up. It's all a bunch of baloney. Forget it. And we have over in this camp, oh, I'm so fearful and I'm so afraid that it's going to come to me or my loved one. And then we have innumerable camps in between. Here we are in between. Not foolish, not fearful, just cautious. But here we are, and we've been encouraging ourselves, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And that's how the psalmist starts out. That's his claim. In the Lord put I my trust. I'm trusting the Lord. Now David, we know, was famously remembered for actually demonstrating his trust in the Lord. Unlike some that we perhaps may think of, words are easy to say, but boy, they sure don't live it. You remember the thing that perhaps brought David his claim in our hearts and mind would be when he stood before that giant as a teenage boy, and the giant was taunting him, and he was saying, what are they doing? Sending out the dogs here after me. Come here. I'm going to feed you to the birds. This guy was over 9 feet tall. He could feed anyone he wanted to, anything he wanted to. Thank you, sir. You have a good day. I'm not going to bother you. If you remember what made David so famous as that teenage boy was when that giant uttered those hot words that blew off that hot air of what he was going to do. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee." You talk about feeding to the birds. He said, "I'm going to smite you, I'm going to take your head from you, and I'm going to give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines, all the army guys out here, unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." Why? Because David was such an arrogant boaster? Absolutely not. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Here was a young man that had proven the words that he had uttered here in our text in Psalm 11. "In the Lord put I my trust." On other occasions, he had written in some of his psalms, for instance, in Psalm 56:3, David wrote, "What time I am afraid," notice he did not deny fear. That always sounds pretty spiritual too, doesn't it? But David said in Psalm 56:3, "When I am afraid, what's the answer? I will trust in you." You know, fear is kind of like that bird we talked about with impure thoughts that fly over our head. It's not the sin to have the bird fly over your head in impure thoughts. It's the sin to invite those thoughts to take up residence in your hair and make the nest. And circumstances, Satan will send darts of fear your way and mine. That's not the sin. The sin is, am I going to enwrap and encircle my arms around it and say, "Okay, good buddy fear, let's just cuddle up here for a while." He says, "No, what time I do fear, I will trust in you. Get out of here, fear." That's the one that said in our text, "In the Lord I trust." Also in that sixth verse of Psalm, pardon me, in the 11th verse, "Because he has dealt with his fear the way it ought to be," in verse 3, when he knows he could be fearful, "I'm going to turn to the Lord." Now show what that does for a life in verse 11. "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." You see, when we are truly trusting in the Lord, bring it on, is what the psalmist is saying here in verse 11. I don't care what man brings. carry on because I'm trusting in the Lord. Is that true of each one sitting here? Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4 is a well-known reference, often quoted concerning trust in the Lord. Remember where the prophet said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Whose mind is stayed on thee." And why does that happen? Because he what? Trusteth in thee. That's where the peace comes from. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Verse 4, Isaiah 26. David knew full well the blessings of trust in the Lord. Those years of his life, in 31:19 of Psalm, he said, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust thee before the sons of men." Let's think about that last phrase. You might say, "Well, I trust the Lord." Are you a secret Christian? David said, "This is all true for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Well, you know what he's saying? I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to let people know that I'm trusting God in this. Are you? Am I? We're so quick to utter, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I trust in the Lord." But how is it fleshed out in our lives? In 32, verse 10, David said, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." Well, with this as our starting point, his claim, let's see secondly in verse 1b through verse 3, the challenge to his claim. The challenge to his claim. Right after he had uttered in the Lord is my trust. How about if I would get to Psalm 11 instead of Job 11? The words don't quite read the same. In the Lord put I my trust. Now here's the challenge. How say ye to my soul, "Flee as a bird to your mountain"? What are you talking about? Run. You better get out of here. Don't you know the wicked, they're bending their bow, they're making their arrows, making ready their arrows. You know it's going to be dangerous if you stick around here. If you keep talking like that, you keep letting people know that you're a Christian, you know what? It's not going to be so good. They're doing that so that they can shoot you in the darkness, because they always target the upright in heart. And after all, David, you say you trust in the Lord. Look, if everything you have trusted in has been destroyed, everything you thought was so stable and so secure, what are you going to do? What's the righteous going to do? The challenge to his claim. Someone was challenging David to rethink his trust and his confidence in the Lord. Numerous scholars fix the context of this 11th Psalm to the time when King Saul was actually trying to take David's life. And you know, there was a period of time Remember, Saul used to get struck by this evil spirit, and he would get all down and discouraged. David, and he'd say, bring David in so he can play some music for me. And it would help Saul feel good, but sometimes before he felt good, he had to just fling a javelin or two at David, trying to pin him to the wall. You know, he enjoyed that music so good. He wanted to drive a point home that you're doing good, David. Not really. Not really. But, you know, it's not for certain, but that's what numerous Bible scholars think, that this was probably the setting for this particular psalm. But during that time when David even told Saul the king on one occasion, in 1 Samuel 26:20, let me read it for you, don't need to turn. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the ground before the face of the earth. For the king of Israel, that was Saul, is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountain. He said, you're chasing me everywhere. Well, was that the context or not? They're not sure, but the whole point of this thing is, after he had made that claim, it's going to be challenged by someone. Oh, you trust the Lord, huh? If you're trusting the Lord, how come you're so worried about what's going to happen with this COVID stuff? You say your God's in control of everything. How come your nails are bitten down to nubs? Looks like you're really trusting. Where's your faith in God now? See if the foundation, you see, bottom line is, let's just say we're seeing things happen in our nation in the last 4 months none of us have ever seen, have we? We have witnessed things make the news transpire that we would have perhaps taken up arms and said, never will that happen in the United States. But it's happening. It's happening. And they're tearing this down and they're removing that. And they're having riots about this. And they just keep telling us how many have died from it. And at every turn, we thought we lived in a stable country. How stable are we anyway? How long are we going to be able to keep going? We know our president is doing everything he can do against the Democrats' wishes and the media to try to stimulate the economy and get things back going again. But you know, our country is so far in debt, and then they keep talking about these stimulus checks, passing them out like popsicles. And we think about getting the economy back. How many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of small home, family-owned businesses bellied up and they're buried and we will never see them again? Because this pandemic took them down. And they don't have the wherewithal to come back if the foundations are destroyed. I never thought I would see this happen. What is going to happen to us in this nation? Never mind. That's what someone was feeding David. You better flee like a bird to the mountain, because they've got their bows in it. They're ready to shoot at you, boy. They like to take shots at the righteous. And when everything you trusted in is nothing but a heap of sawdust or dirt rubble, because every foundation has crumbled, change gears just a little bit and let's personalize this a little bit, you know, for the believer. Let's change the mixture and the foundation a little bit. If the foundations are destroyed, what are you going to do? Let's suppose that foundation is your health. You've always enjoyed good health. But something now is happening to your health or the health of a dear family member. You can't do anything about it. And you're watching that foundation crumble. Maybe it is you've always had a secure job. And boy, this all of a sudden has jeopardized that. I don't know if I got a job. I know I don't have a job now. What are we going to do? How am I going to make it without a job? We program through here. But I trust in God. Maybe our foundation is our marriage. And our marriage has crumbled. If the foundations are, our country, our world is built upon what? Marriages, families. But my family's gone to the pits. But my marriage is terrible. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And you see, it's at that point when we find ourselves being stretched that there are those that like to come along and, let me give you this suggestion. Let me give you this idea. Why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? You see, when everything you've trusted in crumbles, what do you have left? What keeps you going? Do you really trust in the Lord? It's a time like that when the rubber meets the road. You know, there's a little bitty prophet, only 3 chapters long, and it's so short and tucked away in there, I had trouble finding it. But in Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19, the prophet said, although the fig tree shall not, listen to the foundations crumbling. In this reading, these 3 verses. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the field, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. What's the picture in that 17th verse? Abundance, solid security. Everybody couldn't be more thankful for such a pleasant experience and situation in life. No, the foundations have crumbled. In Habakkuk 3:17. What am I going to do? Here's what the prophet says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. What, are you crazy? What, are you blind? You have nothing. Nothing, you say? I have the Lord, the conduct will tell us. And if I have the Lord, I have everything. The rest of the verse, he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. I don't have any of the things that I once had. I don't have any of the things that used to sustain me. I don't have any of the things that used to keep me going. I don't have any of the things that used to make me feel secure. It's gone. But I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is my strength, verse 19. And He will make my feet like hind's feet. That's like a deer. And He will make me to walk on my high places. How Habakkuk the prophet see the worth of going on? He wasn't looking at the circumstances. He was looking at the Lord. Where have you been looking in recent weeks? God hasn't moved. God hasn't moved. Satan works overtime to get us to stop trusting God and put our trust in other things. Flee the mountain. They're getting their bows and arrows ready. There's no hope for you. You better change your way. Satan is a master of deception. And oh, he loves to deceive us and make us think we're trusting in a worthless thing when our trust is in the Lord. As we think of this, we see David's claim, in the Lord I put my trust. And we see that claim challenged. We see it here in our text. We see it in the circumstances of our lives. I guess my challenge to us this morning is, I trust you know the Lord as your own personal Savior. If you don't, you have nothing to stand on. You're in desperate straits. If you don't truly have a genuine relationship with the Lord, but for those that do, expect the challenges. Expect the challenges. At every turn, they're going to come. Pastor, is that it? Well, that's it for today. I forgot to have Steve take the battery out of the clock on the back wall. And we're going to stop here today because we've only seen his claim and the challenge to his faith. But I want us to look back again next Sunday morning at his confidence in the Lord and the comfort that he received from the Lord. You already know my outline. I know what you're thinking.
No reason to come back next week.
I hope not. But we're going to stop. I'm not going to try to go through a half a message in 3 or 8 or 10 minutes. You know I've been there, done that.
And this is Father's Day, and we'll just stop here, and I hope he won't lose the train of thought. And I hope that he'll be in prayer for these new series of messages on foundations. I hope and pray that it'll be something God can use to do a mighty work in each of our own hearts and lives. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed with prayer. You know, Jerry knew the topic. She didn't know the message. But did you think about the songs that we sang that she had picked out? Our first song was "The Solid Rock, My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." The Beeman sang, what was the night? What's the
secret
word?
Place.
Secret place.
The secret place. That's in a right relationship with the Lord. And faith and trust in Him. And then just before the message, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. That was all put together for a reason this morning. I trust it's a blessing to you. Shall we close in prayer? Thank you, Father, for each and every one who can come. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we've scratched the surface on this psalm, but I pray that your Spirit has been able to wake up each of our hearts. Ask ourselves some questions. Do I really demonstrate my unshakable trust in God? Or am I like a leaf on a windy day, blown everywhere by the circumstances of life? Oh God, thank you that you are so trustworthy. Dismiss us with your blessing on us as we go our way. We'll thank you in our Savior's name.